Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Morning, John. No apologies enough. It's thunder and lightning on the west coast of Ireland or whatever else is going on with our phone lines. But we finally have you up on the line. So thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Jerry. Great to talk to you after all.
Listen, we're going to start, John, with, I suppose, the CAMHS review. And I don't know if you got the chance to hear what Minister Mary Butler had to say. There's lots of things being announced.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of things being announced, lots of improvements. But really, I suppose, if you kind of put that together with what's happened on the SNA debacle this week, the stories of letters going from the HSE to parents of adult children with disabilities who are at the end of their tether trying to get services and supports, and groups like Before We Die, you know, notwithstanding the complex area that it is, notwithstanding the huge lack of funding over the last 30 to 40 years in mental health and disabilities in this country, is it fair to say this government has a problem in this area, a big one?
Yes, absolutely. I think anybody listening to Mary Butler, you know, wouldn't doubt her sincerity or her work rate. She's certainly across every detail, but struggling. And you know what? It's quite coincidental. I was looking for something else the other night at home, and I came across a book co-written by Eoin O'Shea, the great Kerry historian. It's a short potted biography of Michael Moynihan, who began his days in Killarney in the psychiatric hospital. And he describes, I suppose, the late 50s, early 60s, he describes, you know, terrible conditions. And, you know, psychiatric care has always been the Cinderella. And it continues to be. Now, there has been an awful lot of progress. There is no doubt. And we have, to some degree, managed to overcome the stigma of mental illness and mental difficulties to many extents. But we're still left there with the situation where psychiatric care is still a Cinderella.
How quickly will the government have to move to change that? Because this, John, this was a problem. This was an issue. This hit the government, the government parties, during the last election campaign. It was one of those surprises that resonated with people and cost them votes.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think little by little progress is happening, but it is very slow. It is very difficult. And, I don't know, systemic... When you're trying to get into a system and change the culture and change attitudes and all the rest, previously it used to be all about funding. Now, increasingly, it's about lack of personnel. It's a very difficult one, but the effort has to continue because people are suffering.
Yeah, it certainly does. John, on the wider sense of funding, and you mentioned funding there, so, call it what you will, you know, is it modern politics or old-style politics? But roads money announced this week for the country, and it sparked off a war of claims here in Kerry. An increased allocation for tar in the kingdom, as the Healy Rays put it. The Healy Rays, and particularly Michael Healy Ray, claiming all credit. This is why we went into government. Michael Cahill claiming the opposite and saying Fianna Fáil minister, Fianna Fáil Taoiseach, Fianna Fáil TDs, two of them, one a minister. That's why the money is coming flowing in. And on the merry-go-round goes.
Yes, and this is always going to happen, Jerry. I think we predicted this when over 12 months ago, when the shape of this government came about. Michael Cahill arguing, look, Michael Healy Ray is the junior minister for forestry matters, and that's that. And there is no constituency deal to get the regional independent support, all eight of them, who are the third leg of the creaky stool that is government, that is this coalition. The reality is we've been here many times before. We were here very prominently when the PDs in the early noughties, and we saw, I remember personally witnessing a Fianna Fáil press officer lining up Fianna Fáil backbench TDs to go out on the plinth at Leinster House and have a fight with the PDs and say, no, it's not the PDs, it's us. And that was sort of organised dissidence, organised rebellion, if you like, from the inside. And this is what we're looking at. And the reality is that those regional independents, part of the tacit arrangement or unspoken arrangement, is that they get first dibs on announcing stuff and claiming constituency goodies. And Michael Cahill is quite rightly opposing that custom and practice and saying, no, actually, there is no point in being in government unless you get things done. So this push-pull will go on. It's a bit of a sideshow. I will say that a lot of money, big increases in funding and so on, but still, I have to say, roads in Kerry are poor. And people will. Mm. I mean, in the past year, I've driven Tralee Dingle. I think it's arguably one of the worst roads available. Otherwise, if you drive Dingle to Killarney, similarly, very poor. Surface, standard of roads, the whole lot. So there's a long way to go here. It would be nice to be able to say, do you know what, this pulling and dragging between two government supporting TDs is good for Kerry, and it is to some degree. But against that, the fundamentals, if there were billions spent on the roads in Kerry, well, it might begin to we'd be looking at an upgrade.
Yeah, is there a wider question then, John, of and Radical Gorman of the Greens was out this week accusing the government of saying two different things at the same time. Minister Darragh O'Brien saying, look, we haven't moved away from the 2-to-1 ratio of public to private transport or public to roads transport. Michael E. Ray saying, yes, finally, sense has prevailed, the Greens are gone. We're putting proper money into roads now that nonsense is all over. They both can't be true. But the wider question about all of that, John, then, is whatever you're putting your money into, I think the public, they want faster delivery, both on they roads do. And public transport.
Yeah, I think people are fed up with that kind of sideshow. And Michael Healy-Ray, while claiming credit, then decides to have a gratuitous sideswipe at the Greens, whatever you think of them. And it's a well-known fact, by the way. I'll spare Michael the trouble. I worked for the Greens in government as a press officer. So whatever you think, I mean, this kind of Punch and Judy show doesn't add. It won't improve the roads. It won't have more buses between Penmare, Killarney, Kilgarvan, and so on.
Okay, John, we're going to talk more about the other issues of the week in the Dáil, particularly the SNA situation. We'll get to that after we take these. Now, John, there's an interesting process story in the Irish Independent this morning in relation to the panic in government circles at the unfolding PR disaster of the SNA reallocations. We were talking to teachers in this county early last week about this one when the letters went out from the National Council for Special Education. On the face of it, though, and there's a lot to this, but it's kind of astonishing. How do you turn a good news story of 1,700 extra SNAs, 25,000 for the country, into a story about cuts and disaster? It's an remarkable achievement, isn't it?
It is. It's reminiscent of the debacle in 2009 when they cut, and that was a cutback, by the way. This is not necessarily a cutback, but when they cut back and medical card entitlements for over 70s, and you know that every elderly person in the country was out on the street. And I remember meeting a Fianna Fáil TD in Leinster House who said, my God, never was so much political capital squandered to save so little for the national exchequer. There are 25,000 SNAs. It was a very ham-fisted attempt to restructure the thing, and recognizing that schools, things move on, children come of age and move on to secondary school or whatever. So it was an attempt, but it was a letter written with a knife and fork sent around to schools that set alarm bells ringing. It had teachers, parents, community leaders, onto government. Suddenly, the government, this is the process of an administrative system where frequently the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
Did the Department of Education or the Minister for Education, John, know what the National Council for Special Education was doing, or maybe more importantly, how it was communicating it? Because Hildegard Knockton went on radio this week earlier, and she didn't sound like she knew everything that was going on.
I think, yes, reading Senan Maloney's article in the Irish Independent this morning, I think it, what comes across is that they were aware, big picture, that there was a restructuring of SNAs in view. What they didn't know was timing and how. And there was a suggestion that these communications were to go next month, whereas they actually went this month. So it is a right mess because it continues in the sense that, quote unquote, the review is paused. Well, what does that mean? Are we getting our special needs assistant or not? Are we losing special needs assistants or not? And they say, well, look, it actually depends on the review. You were talking about Michael Moynihan, the Minister of State responsible from Kishgame, only over the way, only a small stumble over the border there in northwest Cork. He was on this morning trying to explain. He can't. He's not in a position to say, look, everybody's guaranteed. Everything will be fine. So he's left doing something.
He's left bailing the water out of the boat, John, on this one.
Kind of officialese. Sorry, Jerry.
Yeah, he's left bailing the water out of the boat on this one, but the situation has left him with a very small bucket to get the water out when he's trying to answer questions about what happens next.
Yes, that's exactly the point. Because, yes, the immediate danger is averted. In actual fact, some schools will get more special needs assistance. But we don't know how or when or why. So it is a political debacle created by senior officials who have zero political nous.
And that's part of the problem, is it doesn't speak much, and I know we're criticising the government on a number of fronts today for obvious reasons, but can you draw a wider context to this one? Is it an isolated case, or is it an issue of, is this really how policy is done? And it seems like that the SNA situation, there's more of them now than ever. I'm sure they're doing good work, but obviously some need to be, there's a reason for this review, like that numbers need to go where the population is greatest in terms of the school age. We have this, you know, plummeting birth rate going into primary schools across the country, which will affect things as well. It's not good policy to have teachers or SNAs where they're not needed, where that's in other areas where they're desperately needed, they're not available. So there's that that whole overall and the policy of what is an SNA, only set out in 2014, hasn't really been updated. So there's a huge amount of work all of a sudden to do. But it doesn't speak well to policy formulation or attempts at reform, John, does it, by this government?
No, it doesn't. In this situation, I do have some sympathy for politicians and ministers. The system is an absolute behemoth. It's hard to be on top of everything. And I suppose The point is, stuff will go wrong in any job. And the point then is, how is that managed? And what is the response to it when these things happen? And I think they need to get back on side
on top of it.
As possible. Yeah. They know that.
Yeah. Let me put this possibility here. Maybe I'm overthinking it here, John. But on the side of SNAs and the situation of SNAs, look, having them in school, very good. We've an excellent education system internationally, and credit to the government, this government and previous ones, for making sure that continues. And I'm sure SNAs in classes do a good job. I've personal experience of them as well. I know people who are SNAs, and it, if they help educational outcomes for children in the past who would have been left behind without that support, that's all well and good. But has there been a bit of a temptation by all sides, opposition and government, to seize on the SNA increased provision at election time? I don't think there's any party that didn't have, you know, 1,000 extra guards, 500 extra teachers, and in the last number of years, the last decade, 2,000 or 3,000 extra SNAs or 10,000 over the lifetime of this government, that they've been, this is a handy one to show it, these are the goodies we're handing out if we get elected, and maybe not enough thought going into, you know, how the SNA system has evolved over the last number of years.
I think that's certainly true, Gerry. I think, you know, it's a very emotive issue. And I think people are now, I mean, the very fact that we can throw this acronym around, an SNA, and everybody knows it's a special needs assistant. And most of us are aware of the importance of it. And remembering my own school days, such things were never heard of. And frequently it was the poor and disadvantaged kids who got left behind in the system. People who had a few bob had other ways of coming at they're coming round, they're addressing their difficulties. It is very important, but again, there is, as you point out, a terrible risk of it all becoming a political football.
Yeah, and that is part of the issue. John Moran is the mayor of Limerick, the first mayor elected in such way in a new office, and seemingly, John, at war with local councillors. A 7-hour meeting, he took unwell 5 hours into it. He left. The councillors pushed on over the objections of some of them to agree the programme for the way things are going to go forward without him being there. And it seems like a bit of a mess, doesn't it? Was this always going to happen with this sort of a new role and powers divided?
And Willie O'Dea pointed out a lack of clarity in the demarcation, the role of the new executive mayor directly elected. And, of course, this is a test case. We could have one in Tralee, Killarney or County Kerry anon if this works out. It's not looking like it's working. I wasn't surprised when I heard it because this one is kicking around. We got echoes of this variously from around, from the system up to now. Now it's open war. Certain councillors, I've been told by other people familiar with the situation that John Moran, a former Secretary General of the Department of Finance, the first outsider put into that job, and directly elected with a very big vote in a huge field of candidates in 2024, I'm pretty sure, that he was getting a tougher time than any chief executive or county manager, as we would have known them in the past, from certain of the councillors, and that they want him out. He feels at this point he has voiced that view, and he's right. I believe there are certainly number of councillors in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael who want to get rid of him. And that bodes very badly for the experiments to improve local democracy. By the way, I don't believe we have local democracy. I think what we have is a system of local administration and councillors who act as advocates and have influence. So this was an attempt to give us some direct democracy, and it's not encouraging to look at it.
Yeah, and does it show up, John, that point about the centralised nature of Irish government? We're one of the most centralised countries in Europe. And if you put a mayor in there who's going to take some power away from, you know, already fairly powerless councillors compared to other countries, they're going to get upset. And they're splitting a smaller share of the pie of power, if I can call it that way, which central government has total control over.
Yes, absolutely. And you also have other forces within the system. Senior civil servants in the Department of Local Government would be very happy to see this one go down the pan. So it is a poor reflection on our terrible lack of local democracy.
Yeah, yeah, certainly is. John, listen, thanks a million. Thanks for talking to us and bearing with us while we sorted out our phone lines this morning. We'll talk to you next week and call from the Dáil.
Great. Thanks, Sherry.